And so as we go to the Word of God, I would like you to pull up John, the 4th chapter, and we're just going to read verses 23 and 24 for foundational scripture. And we take our time and we look back into John chapter 4, and this is a very familiar scripture. This is a very familiar passage. If you're already thinking, like some of you already are, it's just like, oh, this is the passage of the woman at the well. And that is something that a lot of pastors and preachers and teachers and small group classes, they go through the woman at the well as a teaching. But guess what? Just because something is familiar doesn't diminish its value. So we're not going to go all the way through the woman of the well story. We're just going to take a passage out of here, a couple of verses for our foundational text. And it reads in the King James Version, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh, Adam, wherefore art thou? The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." I would like to take and title this message, "A God Who Seeks." A lot of times we always hear people, and when, especially when they go somewhere and they have an encounter with God, they say small phrases like, "I found Jesus." Ever heard somebody say that? I found him, right? I found Jesus. You know, he was lost over there somewhere. They had to find him. You know, we always feel like, especially because our human nature, that we are the only ones that are seeking. But we're not. Because the passage tells us that the Father seeketh. Man. And so when you hear the word worship, what immediately comes to your mind? Was it the two songs we sung before the announcements? The fast upbeat? Is that the worship? Or is it the song we sung after? Is it the slow songs? Is it the closing of the eyes, the rocking left and right, the spiritual rock? You know, everybody's like, ooh, that person's worshiping. You know, what is it that is a worshiper? What is it that God is seeking? But what if worship is much deeper than just a song? It's much deeper than goosebumps that we feel when Shan and Robert and Aaron get up here and they sing. And you're just like, oh, I'm worshiping because I feel it. What if it is more than just a service, because you come to what? A worship service. But is that the extent of where we take worship? Because the Bible says in 23-24 that God is seeking for a worshiper. He is seeking. He is actively looking. Worship is a lifestyle of reverent devotion and submission to God, expressed in various activities and attitudes toward God. It involves recognizing God's greatness, acknowledging his authority, and aligning one's life with his will. In Hebrew, the word is shahah. I shahah the Lord. When I shahah the Lord, guess what? The literal meaning means to bow or to lay prostrate. To prostrate oneself that they are lower than the Lord that they are serving. And you say, Winston, what does that mean to me? That means sometimes when we come in here, we are so high and lifted up, God has nowhere to go in our lives. We are so puffed up in our own abilities that God can't do anything with us. Worship should originate from a genuine, heartfelt devotion in spirit that aligns God's revelation, his truth in scripture, and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I said a lot right there. Because when you act on that, you say, what do I have to do? I got to get into the Word of God. I have to have reverence for God, the fear of the Lord. Not that I'm afraid of him, but he is so magnificent. My awe for him is that I want to get so low because guess what? He is my everything. I don't stand before him like puffed up. He is all. It's not simply about external rituals. It is about the word of God resonating outside of you. We are having a fall away of worshipers. Jesus tells us in John that God is seeking for such a worshiper to worship him. The word seek means to go after and to press in. He is going after you and he is pressing in. He is looking past all the things that you have in front of him in life and he says, I want you to worship me. Are you who God is seeking? Are you a worshiper or are we just merely doing church? Are we just merely doing worship service? Are you what God is looking for? Because now it's different when the tables are turned and you don't find Jesus. It is that Jesus is looking for you. So now I can't just be here doing whatever I want to do because guess what? In that I am not actively seeking to be a worshiper. In Psalms 27 and 4, the psalmist writes that one thing I desire from the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Listen, this is the most important thing. God is looking for a worshiper, and a worshiper should be looking for God. Because when I get up and I crack these eyes up every morning and my feet hit the floor, I worship the Lord. We should be meeting each other in the middle. It's like coming out of one bedroom to the other and just like, good morning, I'm so glad to see you. Because guess what? He got up to come look for you. And you should be getting up doing the same thing. Are you a worshiper? Because that's what God is seeking. Or are you content spending your time just playing consumer Christianity? Well, I'll consume a little this church and a little that church, and I'll consume a little bit online, but you're afraid to lay roots anywhere because at the time you lay roots, the worship is going to be required. In the Amplified, John 4, 6 through 8, shows that our first step is to move toward him. It said, but God gives more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and the haughty. The proud and the haughty. If you continue to lift yourself up, God has nowhere to take you. It doesn't matter how much you lay at the altar and say, God, help me with this. You don't have anywhere for him to work in your life. because you exalted yourself. What is he going to promote? But he continually gives the gift of grace to the humble, whom turn away from self-righteousness to submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. And our first step is to come close to God. And he will come close to you. God is seeking a worshiper. He is a God who seeks. He is a God that demands worship from his people. When his people were gathered together in Egypt, Moses told Pharaoh to let my people go. God wants his people to come out and go worship him. It wasn't to go and go straight to the promised land. But that's the thought process and the teaching that we've received out of the message. I'm getting saved so I can get a new car. I'm getting saved to get away from that girl. She crazy. Getting saved for that man don't keep following me around. That's why I'm getting saved. But you should be getting saved because God has offered a gift of salvation for you for eternal life. And if somebody gives you everything that you need, right now, if somebody gave you $1 million, you'd lay prostrate on that floor and you'd worship his shoes. But God has given you everything. Everything. He's given you everything. He's given you everything. He's given you everything. He's given you everything. And you won't even read a devotional. Are you a worshiper? Are you afraid to raise your hands? Somebody might see me. Can't sweat these good clothes out. Cost a lot of money. I don't want to seem like I'm undignified. Do you understand what my statue is? Do you know what I do for a living? What if somebody came in and saw that? I'll tell you what happened if somebody came in and saw that. If you would release yourself and you would release your worship unto God, somebody might be standing beside you to look at you and be like, if he's okay with it, I'm okay with it. That means I can raise my hands. I can stomp my feet. I can run. I can give my life to God because she did it. And if she is unashamed, I will be unashamed. Paul writes a stern warning in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And it said, you should know this, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Oh my God, is that not where we're at? Can anybody right now, if you go back, especially all my Bible scholars, and you think about how the temple was, can anybody take something right now that is sacred unto God that man is not tarnishing? Everything, including the house of God. Nothing is sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others, news all day, and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their own friends. Be reckless, be puffed up and proud, and full of pride, and lovers of pleasures rather than God. Woo. They will act religious. They will act religious. You know, the devil don't care nothing about you going to church. He don't care nothing about it. Put on your best clothes. Come on in church. You can serve. Absolutely. You know what scares him when you go to church? The only thing scares him about you going in the building is when you start getting closer to God. Because acting religious is just a behavior. It's just a behavior. That's not a worshiper. That's just acting like you're a worshiper. I can throw my hands up anywhere. I can stand here all I want and profess Jesus Christ to everybody. But I'm here to tell you today that there'll be some of those here. If the rapture happened right now, would you be still here? Because the scripture will fulfill itself. Those that act righteous will still be here. Still be here. But they will reject the power that could make them godly. To think about rejecting what will make you closer to God. Rejecting it. I don't want it. Just like you ever see a two-year-old where you try to give them a vegetable and they, I don't want it. It's good for you. I don't want it. Put it in your mouth. I don't want it. It's the same thing in our Christian family that some are saying, I can act Christian all day. But guess what? I have a limitation to it. And I'm going to hang out right here. And in the back of your mind, you're hoping you make it in. But the day and the time has come. Jesus said, but now is. And that was over 2,000 years ago. We can't put a time on when God come back. The Bible said no man knows the time or the hour. So it is our job to position ourselves to be ready to go when the train comes. That's our job. That's what a worshiper does. A worshiper reduces himself down to the lowest common denominator. Listen, if I can't do anything but move my mouth and give honor to God, and I have to lay prostrate on this green carpet that's been here for 50 years, I will do it in a heartbeat. Whatever will get me closer to God, it doesn't matter. God is yearning to grow us devotionally in the way that shows deep love, dedication, and commitment. It's in a way that it connects us to worship. Where are my worshipers? If you're a worshiper, I dare you to take 30 seconds and give God the best praise that you could ever give him. Not a praise for yourself, but I dare you to raise your hands. I dare you to don't count on who's looking. I dare you to press in. I dare us to break down strongholds. I dare you to get lit. I dare you to be unashamed. I dare you to take 2 seconds and act crazy for God. To get out in the aisles. To be able to raise your hands. To be able to run. I dare you to shape the next generation. Hey! Hey! Hey, you're a good God. Oh, you're a good God. This is what the enemy is afraid of. Because he's afraid this is going to break out. He's afraid it's going to get contagious. I'm not going to just leave it to Bishop and the prayer team. Oh my God, I'm going to do this at home. Then when I come in here, oh God. Woo! We're moving mountains. We're snatching people out of hell. Your finances are changing. Children are being saved. The angels are worshiping with you. There is no situation that's bigger. What you are doing is affecting change. You're change agents. You're image bearers. All the enemy sees is God. There's Jesus in the seats. Oh my God. The church is full of little Jesus. Because they only do what the fathers they do. Oh my God. And then the Holy Spirit just moves. Oh my God. The Holy Spirit inhabits our praise. It inhabits our worship. Oh my God. If y'all could get the realization and the revelation, let me tell you, salvation was the best thing for the sinner. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the best thing for the church. Woo! Hey, God! You should want to be filled with the Spirit. Do I have to be filled with the Spirit to go to heaven? No, you don't. But I can't go to Walmart without the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get in my truck without the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go to work without the Holy Spirit. Because he searches the deep things of God. He cancels assignments. He set my finances in order. He heals a marriage. He brings a child home. He does nothing of his own authority. Hey, God. It's a free gift. Have you been baptized since you received? Oh, God. Since you believed, have you been baptized? It's time to stop playing. We've been playing. We've been playing. But God is seeking. He's a God who seeks. He's looking. Is it you? Is it you that he's going to be like, I'm well pleased. That's a worshiper. And just like sweet smelling incense, I receive it all day. It's hitting my nostrils. Oh my God. Is it you? Is it you who God's looking for? My God. Oh, my God. Woo! Oh. Be seated. Let me finish this. Yeah! Yeah. Hallelujah. Take a drink. Holy Spirit, do it. Receive. Hey, God. Hey. Yes. Listen, we've been getting punched in the face spiritually for so long. We've been at a loss. We can't understand why Christians are struggling. They're struggling with pornography. They're struggling with infidelity. We're struggling. But what I'm trying to tell you is you already had the leg up. You are already a winner. All you have to do is worship. I'm not saying that I had it all together. Much were the afflictions of Winston and Erica. But every valley that the enemy thought he took me through, God has taken me to a mountaintop. Because guess what? In the valley was worship. There is something about forgetting yourself, forgetting your situation. It don't matter what happens, because I'm going to still worship. I'm going to still worship. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm not going to be able to finish all of this. But I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Just two things. Is it okay if we just go a little bit longer? If you got to go, you got to go. I got it. I got it. But the Holy Spirit is working right now. He's working right now. He's working right now. Let him work. Oh, my God. Yeah, God. Yeah, God. It's so important that we get up on our Sundays and we actually come to church and we display a level of worship that we have been doing all week. Because it's usually told to us that you go get refreshed on Sunday and you try to make it to Wednesday. Then you try to make it to Sunday. But God is looking for somebody that doesn't need a temporal fix. He's looking for somebody that knows how to walk around a house and speak in tongues and take no much oil and oil up the doorknobs and oil the car and oil the bread so it don't run out. And it's my last pack of meat. Oh, my God, I don't know where my next is coming from, but in the name of Jesus. Woo. He's looking for a worshiper, a life of worship. Not waiting for Robert to lead you in a song. Because then you're all off if Robert ain't here. Aaron don't show up. I don't have a worship in my heart. Shan ain't here. How am I going to sing the hymnals? I don't know. Because God is calling you to worship. This is a challenge to everybody in the room. This is a challenge to everybody online. Be a worshiper. Tap your neighbor and say, are you who's God looking for? And it's not easy. A life of worship is not easy. A life of worship is not easy. I'm going to try to end with this story right here. The first time that we see the word worship is in Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And now if we go to Genesis 22, it's kind of odd how worship, the example of worship, is being described. Because if you understand Genesis 22, guess what? That is when Abraham is taking Isaac to be sacrificed. Isaac to be sacrificed. And Abraham says this in verse 5 of chapter 22. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go up and worship. And we will be back. Wait, where the praise team at? Wait a minute. What bishop? Where's the prayer team. How are we going to worship? How we worship? And as he goes up, and Isaac is asking him, I see everything, but I don't see a sacrifice. Because let me tell you something. Worship will cost you everything. But worship will get you everything. Because it's not yours to see the end. It is the first thing to do is that God had already told him to sacrifice his son. This is where worship starts to fall off. Because God asks for that thing that you hold in high regard. Can you do without it? He asks for what Abraham had cherished the most. And here's one thing that'll blow your mind. It's what God gave him. Is what God gave you more important than God to you? Can you do without it? If God said there's nothing left but me and you, are you going to start whining like, hey, but what about the car you gave me? He asked for the thing that God gave him that he wanted so long. How am I going to be a father of many nations and I have no offspring? I'm old. My wife is old. But now he asked for what he gave, but he held it and he cherished it because one is from the Lord, two is what he always desired. But as a worshiper, what do you do with what God has given you? Are you ready to let it go? There's a story about how they used to trap monkeys. And they put a banana in a jar. And as the monkey would go and reach into the jar to get the banana, he was so in tune on keeping the banana, he wouldn't let go. So he just kept a firm grip on the banana. So now he gets trapped. And now the hunters have the monkey. Without any type of resistance. Because even when getting picked up, the monkey is still worried about the banana. Is your worship contingent on what you have? Will you be ready to open your hand and escape the snares of the enemy? And as Abraham goes up the hill and he goes there, listen, first thing is obedience. The second thing is that Abraham built an altar. The altar in the Word of God is where your last experience with God was. The representation of where you're going to sacrifice the things in your life. The altar is not right here. It's not only when you come to church. It's in your heart. That altar is serious. That's where we lay aside every weight. That is where we take this flesh and we die to it daily. And Isaac sees, I see everything. I see the knife. I see the altar. I see the altar. I see the knife. But where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? Some of us get past the obedient. Okay, I'll go. I'll build an altar. Okay, I have an altar in my heart. But when God asks for the sacrifice, are you okay with getting up early or staying late and spending time with him? Is his presence bottled and what you feel like is enough time for him? Do you seek his face? Do you seek his face? Do you live to be in his presence? Is there things that we can sacrifice right now? the largest group in this church should be the prayer team. I said it. Okay, I said it. The largest group in this church should be the prayer team. We understand you can't always make it. There's things, life happens. But there's so much going on, and there's so much change happening with two or three. And God is calling for the worshipers. And if you are not a worshiper, you should desire to be one. You should set your affections on things on high. You should push yourself down to the lowest that you can go, because you know that God will provide. I just have to offer the sacrifice. Because of the obedience, because the altar was built, because God said he's willing to give the sacrifice, he's going to lay it on the altar. He put his son on the altar and he stretched him. And he 100% trusted in God. He said, God will provide. And it's hard for a parent to realize that I can kill my son for God and he's going to take care of me. Because God still will provide. Job lost all of his children. And those are things that come from the innards of a man or woman. But the things that you have that you refuse to sacrifice, why won't you put them on the altar? Why won't you be a worshiper? Why don't you put God first in everything we do? It is time for us to stop complaining how we don't have the things that we should have in Christ. Because the blueprint was written. It was not for you to worry about in the first place. It was not for you to have concern with. Yours is only to worship. Yours is to get up every morning and to give glory and honor to God. High reverence. I don't want to move unless I talk to you. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to take a job. I don't want to do it. I can't get married. I'm not going to have a child unless we talk, Lord. Everything that I do is for you. And I'm not just going to do it when I get around everybody. I'm going to do it at home. We're going to meet every day. I can't wait to do it. And they get up there and God provides. Because let me tell you, Isaac was looking. If at the end I realize that I'm about to get killed, I'm looking for the ram in the bush before my daddy. I'm looking. But God provided. The model is that be obedient. Find that place where he was with you the last. It's a monument. It's a marker to where he's going to meet you. Get the location. Be ready to sacrifice everything for God. Knowing that in the end, it's going to be about praise. Praise is going to be raised up. You are going to be able to experience a life of God that you've never experienced before. Because you're a worshiper. Worship is the key. Worship is the weapon. Worship is how we get free. Worship. If you'll just stand to your feet. And I know I went over time, and I apologize. But the Bible said God is calling and he's seeking a worshiper. A worshiper. A worshiper. You're not afraid to be crazy in front of people. Because regardless of what I look like, God is working on my behalf. People always talk about, I have to do things in their own power. It's not yours to do. Mine is to worship. The reward of worship is receiving more of God. I challenge you, when you leave from here, you take something, you get in the Word. You consecrate yourself devotionally to God. You make a declaration that, God, I'm going to meet with you, not just once a week, but every day. I'm setting time for you. I'm not going to even ask you for anything. Because worship is not whining. It's not standing there trying to say, I need this, I need that. Don't forget my bills are due. Don't forget this, that. It's not whining. You need to shaha the Lord. Bow down. Get prostrate. It doesn't matter whether you do it physically or spiritually. You need to be there. Be there with God. Allow Him to work the things that need to be worked out in your life. If we were to raise our hand, there's a lot of people that's going through a lot of things right now. A lot. Life is life. And every time we look at the news, we see it's life and even harder. And Pastor Hunter just told everybody that we got to wake up. The bread has been put out in this body. We know what we need to do, but are we going to do it? That's the challenge. That's the hard part. The easy part was showing up. But are we going to do what God requires of us? I'm not asking you to worship. The Bible says it. God is seeking. Who doesn't want to be found by God as a worshiper? Because when he shows up with everything that you're going to need. Even the stuff you don't realize you're going to need. And he's actively searching for you. And to do that, the first thing we have to do is give our lives to one who gave us everything. It's good everybody goes around and says, you know what? I'm a child of God. Everybody's not a child of God. God wants you to be his child, but everyone is not his child. So as we purpose in our heart, it's just something I ask. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the time that we give that free gift to you. The Spirit of the Lord is already here. You're not receiving from anybody here. It is God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all that you need from Him. And the second question is going to be, if I receive God, and I have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, but things happen and I fell away. And I know it's time to come back home. That's the second question. And right now, if either one of those questions, God is saying, that is you. We're not trying to embarrass you. We're not trying to make a spectacle out of anybody. We just want to know who we're praying for. If you would just slip up your hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for that. Thank you for being honest. It is so important. You know, the model of this house was that we all go and we all go together. It's so important that we see each other in heaven. I don't want anyone in here to be lost. anyone. So it doesn't matter status. It doesn't matter what you do. All of that stuff is wood, hay, and stubble. You can cast it away. It's going to get burned in the fire. It's your relationship with God and Him seeking you as a worshiper. He's a God who seeks. Church, it's time to get real. It's time for us to come home. It's time for us to stop worrying about who's going to carry us. It's time for us to walk on our own. It's time for our relationship to be established and affirmed. This is it. No man knows the time nor the hour. It could be today. Are you ready? If we pray this prayer and this is your time, are you ready? We've all been where you're thinking about, we have to give our lives to God. Jesus paid it all. And if everybody would just repeat after me, it's not important that you hear me pray, but it's important that you hear yourself pray. And just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. And I believe that you are the Son of God. And He raised you from the dead. And I have set it in my heart. And I believe it with my being. And I confess it with my mouth. And according to your word, I am saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. Come into my life. Sit on the throne of my life. And I give you access to be head of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give everybody a hand clap for that. We have ministers here on both sides that if you need prayer, don't leave the way you came. These ministers are here to pray for you. They'll stay as long as you need them. A couple of reminders. If this is your first time attending, right outside of these doors, over to the left is the hub. Go in there. We'd just like to meet you and thank you for coming. Don't forget, prayer, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night at the ULC. Let's pack it out. Let's pack it out. Invite somebody. Come to prayer. Oh, that next week, 4th of July weekend, hey, have a safe travels when you're traveling. Great holiday. We love you. We thank you. And you are dismissed. Thank you for coming.